Chapter 1. Write your happy ending. The ideas within this chapter are going to help you strengthen the alignment leg of the core happiness stool. One of the biggest obstacles to people increasing their happiness is that they often misunderstand what it actually is. They think they need a nicer car, a more exotic holiday, or a fancier job title to become happier. But you don't need to buy anything to access happiness or to go to some other country. Happiness is not about money or material goods. Neither is it about class, colour, sexuality, social media followers, or career achievement. I know many wealthy doctors, lawyers, and CEOs who are utterly miserable. And I know many people on much more modest incomes who are intensely happy and satisfied with their lives. The problem, in a nutshell, is that we mistake success for happiness. I believe that for most people, the single biggest reason they're walking around with a hole in their heart, which they try unsuccessfully to fill with a whole host of compensatory behaviours, such as alcohol, junk food, sugar, and overwork, is because they've made this fundamental error. From a tender age, we're taught that in order to thrive, we need to be better than the people around us. We can only be successful if it comes at the expense of others. We're given the impression that in order to succeed at life, we need to excel in our exams so that we can get a better job and earn more money. This is how happiness is defined for us. Society takes us as soon as it can and puts us through its brainwashing program. Now, don't get me wrong, I've got nothing against success. But success is not the same thing as happiness. Your dreams won't make you happy. In 1962, my dad travelled from India to Britain, hoping for a better life. My mother joined him in 1972. Now, Dad was one of 8 children, and after training as a doctor at Calcutta National Medical College, he decided to leave for the UK to give his family more opportunities. He became a brilliant surgeon in obstetrics and gynaecology and ended up as a consultant at Manchester Royal Infirmary in a different speciality. A few years before Dad died, he said to me, "You know, son, when I was a child, I could never have dreamed of owning my own house or my own car. In India, you can work hard and never get such rewards. I knew if I worked hard in England, I would reap the benefits." My dad worked hard. He earned enough to have nice holidays and send his kids to private school, but he wasn't happy. In his dogged pursuit of success, my dad slept just 3 nights a week. I remember him coming home from work every evening at about 5:30. He'd shower and shave. Mum would give him dinner, and then a car would pick him up at 6:45. He'd then spend all night doing GP calls and seeing patients. He'd come in again at 7 a.m, shave, drive into Manchester and work all day. That was his life for 30 years. It's one of the main reasons why he got diagnosed with the autoimmune disease lupus at 59, went on to develop kidney failure, and ended up on dialysis for 15 years, which forced him into early retirement. Despite his brilliance and his exceptionally hard work, my dad was unfairly held back by racist attitudes that were sadly extremely widespread at the time. He would train all the local doctors in surgery, and within 2 or 3 years, they'd have jumped over him on the career ladder and usually be promoted as he was left behind. This happened for years. In order to give his family security and make consultant grades, he reluctantly gave up his dream job as a surgeon and moved to a less popular speciality that he didn't really enjoy. He never complained to me about this when I was young, confiding how heartbreaking he found it only when he was on his deathbed. The stresses that came with his relentless and challenging pursuit of success created tension at home. My mum dealt with it by numbing herself with TV soap operas every night. Coronation Street, Brookside, EastEnders, The Bold and the Beautiful, Heart to Heart, the lot.